Morning. Today's Daf Nisachim Samech. We are in the Mishnah on Nun Tes Lamed Beis. We are beginning this morning, continuing, with the fifth parak here of Pesachim, and we're talking about Inyanei Kachim. So as we opened up just a couple days ago, the fifth parak of Pesachim, so we know that we're going to be talking about the Karban Pesach. As dealing with the Karban Pesach, so Karban Pesach obviously is a carbon and is going to be following in suit with the general halachas of carbonos. And so, first couple of dapim were pretty straightforward, even without a broader knowledge of kachim in general. So we basically just talked about the schedule of Erev Pesach, when exactly we're going to be shechting the Karban Pesach, after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, when is the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim going to be brought in Erev Pesach? Good. So scheduling notes on dapim nun ches and nun tes. But now, as we're starting the Mishnah here on Nun Tes Amud Beis, so it's going to be a little bit more than just scheduling notes. It's going to be now a discussion about Karbanos and Lishma and Shelo Lishma. So let me just give a couple of words of brief introduction over here before we start, because for today's daf and tomorrow, so we are going to be really involved in the very basic halachas of Karbanos and Kachim and the halachas of Lishma. Now the halacha of Lishma, so for those of us who tackled Masechta Zvachim, so you know it's the very first sugya in Masechta Zvachim, and that is the following. When I shech the Karban, so there has to be a proper intention, a kavana. Okay, nothing mystical, nothing Kabbalistic over here. Although, not to de-emphasize it, but just in terms of the basic halachas, it's just a very simple, straightforward. You must be shechting the carbon with the proper intention of why I'm shechting this particular carbon. And the first Mishnah in Zvachim discusses what happens when I shecht with an improper kavana, what is called a shelo lishma. There, first of all, when is this Shelo Lishma Kavana being had? So that is going to be during the Dalet Avodos. When doing a Karban, so there are going to be four critical moments where those are times of eligibility where a person can have a Machshava, either proper or improper. So what are those four Avodos going to be? So it's going to be the Shechting of the Karban, the Kabbalas Adam, the drawing of the blood, I should say, not drawing, but the receiving of the blood in a Kli. Blood's going to come right out. It's a Kabbalas Adam, receiving of the blood in a Kli. It's going to be the Holacha, the walking of the blood over to the Mizbeach, and Zrikas Adam, and the sprinkling of the blood in the Mizbeach. These are the Dalet Avodos, the four critical times and moments in which a Kavana can be had, which would either qualify or disqualify the Karban if a Machshava Ra, if a bad Machshava took place during that point in time. Now, in terms of what are going to be the ramifications of having a Machshava Shelo Lishma, actually, before I get to that point, a very basic point. When we say a machshava, an intent, so do we mean that we're talking about what the Kohen is actually thinking, or does he have to verbalize and does he have to articulate? So in the Gemara itself, it's not particularly clear. The Gemara always describes it as a machshava, and machshava means thought and intention, but that's a little bit challenging. It's a little bit difficult. We're going to know exactly what the Kohen is thinking, obviously not. And then what happens? The Kohen is going to have to now self-report afterwards. This is the intention that I had at the time. Could be, but that's really difficult. The easiest way to say it, and Rashi says in the beginning of Zvachim, is that whenever we talk about Machshava, we're talking about articulation. In other words, it's not just that he thinks it and he says it. That's really the easiest way to say it in terms of what the definition of Machshava is. It's an intention coupled with an articulation. Okay, another really basic point. Now, in terms of the Dalet Avodos, so the idea is that an intention is only going to be significant during one of the four Avodas. So that means to say that if he had intention and articulated at any other point in time, obviously it's not recommended, but it's not going to affect the carbon. It's not going to have impact on the carbon. And one other really important point, and just in terms of an introduction, and that is that what are going to be the ramifications of having a Machshava Ra? Well, actually, there is two exceptions, which we're going to get to in just a moment, and then there's the general rule. Let's start with the general rule. So the general rule, it's presented in the very beginning of Masechta Zvachim, is that with a Machshava Ra, with a Machshava of Shelo Lishma, so during a critical point of one of the four Avodas, so it doesn't disqualify the carbon per se, but it detaches the carbon from its owner. That means to say that the owner brought a carbon, right, as let's say an obligation, he made a neder, he made an endava. So and the requirement was to bring this particular carbon, and now the Kohen had a machshava ra'ah. So what it's going to do is that you could still go forward and offer the carbon on the Mizbeach, but what you cannot do is that you cannot credit it to its owner. The owner now becomes detached from the carbon, so now the owner is going to have to bring another carbon. Now, I know it's a generally popular follow-up question. Does that mean that the Kohen is going to have financial liability? Because basically now he's going to be forcing the owner to purchase a new carbon. So that's a general follow-up question. My general follow-up answer to that is unsure. It's a hezek sheino nikar. It's a little bit more like grama. All right. Anyway, that's a popular question and not particularly sure what the answer would be. But but there are two notable exceptions. The two notable exceptions where if the Kohen were to have a machshava ra when doing one of the four avodas is going to be a carbon chatas and carbon pesach. This is the first Mishnah in Zvachim. By carbon chatas and carbon pesach, if the Kohen, while doing one of the four avodas, has a machshava of shelo lishmo while doing the avodas, so now it's not only going to be that the owner is not going to get credited, but moreover, the carbon itself is going to be disqualified. Carbon cannot be offered. Carbon needs to be disposed of. It is going to be a psul, a total disqualification of the carbon in the case of a chatas and in the case of a psachim. We have psukim over there in the beginning of Masechta Zvachim that the Gemara darshins in terms of how we arrive at that conclusion. Those are the two notable exceptions. So obviously now Pesach is in rare space. Where for the carbon pesach, just like the carbon chatas, if the kohen while doing one of the four avodas has a machshava shelo lishmo, so that will render the carbon disqualified. And now that group is going to have to find a new carbon pesach. Good. So this is all the very basic information, just as a base introduction to our sugya. And let's get underway. We start with the Mishnah on Nintesim and Beis. Ha pesach. So the Mishnah now is going to be going over what exactly happens in the event that you have a carbon pesach with a machshava shelo lishmo. A pesach sheshachta shelo lishmo. So let's say the carbon pesach was shechta shelo lishmo. That's the first of the dala avodas. V'kibel, v'halach, v'zarak shelo lishmo. Now a simple reading of the Mishnah is going to be that the other three avodas, kabbalas adam, holacha, and zrikas adam, also were done shelo lishmo. The obvious issue which the Gemara is going to tackle is that if you're disqualifying the carbon with a machshava ra'a during one of the avodas, so then there's no need to pile on over here. Meaning, the Mishnah's illustration of having a machshava ra for the remaining three avodas seems to be perfectly unnecessary. So the Gemara is going to address that. We're going to come back to that point in just a little bit. Oh, lishmo v'lo shelo lishmo. Oh, shelo lishmo v'lishmo. Or let's say you had a double machshava. One machshava good, and the other machshava is bad. And the Mishnah says it doesn't matter what the order is, whether you start off with a machshava of lishmo and then shelo lishmo. Oh, shelo lishmo lishmo. But nevertheless, though, you had included as one of your machshavas a bad machshava. So under those circumstances, it's going to be possible. We're going to spend a lot of time today in today's daf going over this example of the Mishnah where you had the double machshava, one good and one bad. Was that during one avoda or was that spread out over two separate avodas? Stay tuned. That will be a big part of today's daf. The Mishnah over here wants to try to further illustrate exactly what does it look like when it's shelo lishmo. I'm sorry, when it's lishmo and shelo lishmo. So l'shem pesach, l'shem shlamim. Okay, so very simple. Simple scenario would be is that as you are shechting the carbon pesach, so the Kohen now is saying that I'm shechting this l'shem carbon pesach. That's good, and l'shem carbon shlamim. That's no good. Now it's true, by the way, that a pesach is a quasi shlamim. It really behaves like a shlamim for the most part, with notable exceptions, but they are two different karbanos. And so therefore, while the Kohen is shechting his karban pesach, he additionally says that this is going to be a karban shlamim, that's a machshava shelo lishmo, and that will be a disqualification. Shelo lishmo v'lishmo l'shem shlamim l'shem pesach. And the Mishnah just simply is now going to invert the order. And the Mishnah's point is it doesn't matter. If let's say he starts off with a machshava of l'shem shlamim, followed then by a machshava l'shem pesach, so that too is going to be disqualified because he started off with a machshava of a shelo lishmo, and even though he added a machshava of lishmo, that's not going to salvage the carbon. The carbon is still going to be disqualified. So what we have now in front of us are a number of scenarios in the Mishnah, but the basic idea of the Mishnah is that when the Kohen doing the Avodah with the Karban Pesach and has a Machshava of Shelo Lishmo, so that will be a disqualifier, it will be a psul of the Karban, not only if the Machshava presents itself by itself, but even when crossed with another Machshava, a good Machshava, it's still going to be a posel. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, let's pick up with the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to be discussing, for most of today's daf, one simple question, one topic. And that is the double machshava of our Mishnah. Is that in one avoda, or is that spaced out between two avodas? And, as the Gemara is about to point out, it really is going to touch on another issue, and that is that when a person makes multiple statements, so how does a halacha look at multiple statements? Machlokas between Remeir and Rabbi Yossi. Now, hopefully, this is going to sound somewhat familiar, as we just recently went through this machlokas Remeir and Rabbi Yossi in terms of whether or not tfos lashon rishon. We just look at the first thing that he says, and if he says anything else afterwards that's contradictory, we ignore it. Or do we say af bigmar dvarav? Do we even go to the totality of the statement? That's a machlokas between Remeir and Rabbi Yossi, respectively. Remeir is of the opinion of tfos lashon rishon. And Rav Yossi is of the position that you take the totality of the statement. And how is that going to impact our discussion over here? All that coming up right now. By Rav Papa asked the following question, Avodah Achas Tanan, or B'Shei Avodas Tanan. Our Mishnah, we're talking about the double Machshava. Is that in one Avodah, or is that spread out over two Avodas? By Avodah Achas Tanan, one possibility is that it's talking about within one Avodah, of Rav Yossi, he, the Amar Af Bigmar Dvar of Adam Nitfas, and that is within the Shita of Rav Yossi. Now, Rav Yossi threw out Shas. We already saw it earlier in our Masechta, and it comes up a number of times throughout Shas. The Shita of Rav Yossi, which is that you take the totality of a statement that, even though cannot be synthesized, there are two parts to the statement, and they really cannot be synthesized, but Rav Yossi says that you have to account for both parts of the statement. And then it could be that Amish is talking about Avodah Achas, meaning that when the Kohen was shechting the Karban Pesach, so he said, during the Shechita, during the process of the Shechita, this was L'Shem Pesach and L'Shem Shlamim. And so now he put the two of them together. Now, even though he opened up great, but he also added L'Shem Shlamim, and if our Mishnah is subscribing to the Shechita of Rav Yossi, so now we understand that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that we have to account for everything that he said, even though he started good and he ended bad, nevertheless, Rav Yossi says you have to take the totality of his statement. Now, this sheet of Rav Yossi, where do we find it? So, Rashi says that the primary location in Shas where we find the sheet of Rav Yossi is in the Gemara in Temura. The Gemara in Temura, Daf Chafei, Rashi quotes over here the bottom Rashi. I'll just say it outside in terms of just summarizing. So, the case is where he points to one animal, and he says that this animal is going to be Temura Ola and a Temura Shlomim. Okay, without going through all the details of how Temura works, but basically, what he's trying to do is imbue two different kedushas into one single animal. The kedusha of a Karban Ola and the kedusha of a Karban Shlamim. You can't do that. So what do we do? Do we just simply take the first thing that he says? Or do we have to take the totality of that which he says? Rav Yossi says, totality. This animal now that presents itself in front of me is both an Ola and a Shlamim. How is that going to be? You can't offer one animal as an Ola and a Shlamim. Different rules govern what's going to happen to an Ola and what's going to happen to a Shlamim. You can't synthesize the two Kedushas into one animal. What do you do? So the Gemara tells us what to do over there in Temura. Rashi over here cites. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to wait till this particular animal develops a mum. Now it's eligible to be redeemed with that redemptive money. So half of the money now is going to go towards the purchase of a Karban Ola, and half that money is going to go to the purchase of a Karban Shlamim. Good. That's the Gemara in Temura. That's the Shita of Rav Yossi. Now, on the other hand, on the other side of this issue is Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that no, that the only thing that you follow is the Haschala, only the beginning statement. If the opening statement is that this is a Karban Pesach, good. Rav Meir will tell you what we're going to do is just simply disregard everything that's said after that. And even though he says Machshava Shalol Shmo after that, it doesn't matter. So now, D'i Rav Meir, now we're back to the Gemara, the last line of the Amud. D'i Rav Meir Hamar Tfos Lashon Rishon. Rav Meir says that we're going to be Tofes Lashon Rishon. And that would mean that according to Rav Meir, it would be Kasher. That's one way to understand our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about only Ba'avoda Achas, but then it would limit our Mishnah, because our Mishnah would only be following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, not the Shita of Rabbi Meir. That's one possibility. Oh, Dilma, as we now are on the top of Samach Amud Aleph, what's the other possibility? The Gemara says, I'll tell you. Odilma b'shei avodas tanan. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about two avodas. So it could very well be that the double avodas of our, the double machshavas of our Mishnah is following in suit with the sheet of Reb Meir, and that is because it's spread out over two avodas. Meaning, during one avoda, the Kohen had a machshava. This is going to become Pesach. Check. The next avoda, let's say Kabbalah Sadam, the Kohen there says this is going to be for a Karban Shlamim. Even Reb Meir will tell you that the animal now is disqualified. Why? Because over here, since the machshava is occurring in another avoda, so this is now going to be considered the haskala. This is now going to be considered an initial machshava, because each avoda in of itself is to be treated independent one of the other. Obviously, you need all four avodas, right? The carbon does not work with the removal of any one of the avodas. Although I will add parenthetically, by halacha, that's not perfectly true, right? By halacha, it's very possible to shech the carbon right next to the mizbeach and then to do the shechita, the kabbalas adam, and the zrika, and you don't really need to do halacha. So back in Zvachim, the Gemara discussed this point in detail. But our point over here is that each of the avodas really is a station in of itself. And so that means to say that the double machshava of our Mishnah, if in fact it's spread out over two avodas, so then that means our Mishnah could be following the sheet of Reb Meir. Okay. So the basic issue now is our Mishnah, when dealing with the double machshava, is that within one avoda, but then our Mishnah is only going like Rav Yossi, not like Reb Meir? Or is our Mishnah spread out over two avodas, and that means that our Mishnah can even incorporate the position of Reb Meir? That's the Gemara's question. And now for the remaining Amud Aleph and part of Amud Beis, a discussion of whether or not we could see this in our Mishnah, or maybe not. So Amri Ahaya. So the Gemara says, okay, now what you're proposing right now is that the double machshava is spread out over two avodas. Where exactly are we talking about? So are we talking about the case where, the Gemara here is just a point of clarification. Is it on the case of where first the machshava was shalol lishmo, then the machshava is lishmo? So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, bein b'avoda achas, bein b'shtei avodos, bein l'Reb Meir, bein l'Reb Yossi, if so lei, mikamaisa. So there, it's disqualified according to everybody, because your opening statement was shalol lishmo. Dehal l'Reb Yossi nami apeg amad varv adam nidfas, islei. So and according to Reb Yossi, look, Reb Yossi just simply saying, I have to count for everything. Okay, but including everything, of course, is that if I open up with a shalol lishmo, so then even though you ended with a lishmo, that's not going to negate what you said in the beginning. It just simply means that we have to incorporate everything that he said. One of the things that he said was shalol lishmo. So the Gemara's point over here, simple, is that if he opened up with shalol lishmo, that for sure is going to be possible according to everybody, whether we're talking about one avoda, whether we're talking about two avodas. So that's not even what we are discussing right now. What are we discussing? So the Gemara says it's an obvious point, but it's still a point of clarification. Ela alishmo vishalo lishmo. Mai. So the case that we are discussing, that we're entertaining right now, is we started off with lishmo, meaning proper kavana, and then shalo lishmo. Now over here, so now the question stands. Are we talking about where he had this dual machshava in one avoda, or he had it in two separate avodas, tashma? So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to do is that we're going to go back to our Mishnah and do what the Gemara always does, critically reading the Mishnah, is seeing whether or not this could be borne out by a very careful reading of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah writes, So let's take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah scenario was, our opening scenario of the Mishnah was the Shechita was done shalol lishmo, and then the simplest way to read the Mishnah, as we pointed out when we read the Mishnah, is that and the Kabbalah, and the Halacha, and the Zrika also were done shalol lishmo. That's the simple way to read the Mishnah, but the Gemara immediately right now is going to point out, you can't read the Mishnah that way. Hechidami. Ine mekediktani. If you're going to read the Mishnah as we just did, so, lamali adem echashav lekulo. Why exactly do I need a machshava ra'ah for every one of the avodas? Mi kamaisa if so lay. Just by having a machshava ra'ah during the first avoda, that already DQ, that already disqualifies the carbon. Then all you're doing is piling on, but the tackle's already been made. And the avodas, and the carbon's already been disqualified. So, el alav hachi ketani. So the Gemara says, okay. So, how do you read our Mishnah? Here's how you're going to have to read the Mishnah. and that is a Pesach Sheshechtu Shelo Lishmo, that the Karban Pesach was Shechtu Shelo Lishmo in Ami. Now the next part of the Mishnah is a new case. Shechtu Lishmo, V'kibo V'halach V'zarach Shelo Lishmo. Either the next case of the Mishnah is I shechted it correctly, and then either I accepted the blood, or I walked the blood, or I did the Zrika Shelo Lishmo. Inami, shechtu V'kibo V'halach Lishmo, V'zarach Shelo Lishmo. So alternatively, the Shechita was done correctly, the Kabbalah was done correctly, the Halach was done correctly, and the Zrika was done incorrectly, meaning a Machshava Ra occurred during the Zrika. Now, if this is a proper way to read the Mishnah, now it seems pretty clear that the Mishnah over here is describing where you had various Machshavas, some good, some bad, right? And it doesn't have to be some. In other words, even if one bad Machshava during one of the Avodas, then that will be a disqualification. So, but what comes out from this entire explanation of the Mishnah seems to be the really straightforward way to explain the Mishnah now, but what comes out now is that these machshavas are occurring during different avodas. Okay, that's the way our Mishnah seems to present itself. Ema Seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. Lishma v'shelo lishma. Now, when the Mishnah goes on to describe lishma v'shelo lishma yechidami, inema b'she avodos. So what do you want to tell me now? The next part of the Mishnah, which we're analyzing right now. So you're telling me that Shtei Avodos Hanereisha. Well, we just got done explaining the first part of the Mishnah as examples of Shtei Avodos. So now the next part of the Mishnah, if the next part of the Mishnah is only talking about Shtei Avodos, so then all we're looking at is pure redundancy. And the Mishnayos don't do that. The Mishnayos are making a new Chiddush every single time. So it's really hard to explain that the next part of the Mishnah is talking about Shtei Avodos. Elala b'avoda achas, v'rev yosihi, d'amar af b'gmar dvar v'adam nitfas. So the next part of the Mishnah is coming to give us another Chiddush, and presumably the next Chiddush is that even if these dual machshavas were occurring in one avoda, the carbon is going to be disqualified. Well, if you're having a dual machshava in one avoda, and you open up with a lishmo, and then in the same avoda you have shelo lishmo, and the Mishnah is teaching me that's possible. There's only one Tana that would say that's possible. And that would be Rabbi Yossi. Because according to Rabbi Meir, within one avoda, what do you do with conflicting statements? You only accept the first one and you ignore the second one. That teaches Rabbi Meir. So then if in fact we're right, then our Mishnah is talking about avoda achas. And this dual machshav is occurring in avoda achas. So then there's only one author of the Mishnah and that's Rabbi Yossi. That's what we seem to be saying right now. Okay, good. That's analysis. But the Gemara says, yes, that's analysis, but I don't love it. Lo. La'olam b'shei avodas. It could very well be that the second part of the Mishnah is talking about b'shei avodas. Now, what about the fact that if that were the case, then it would be pure redundancy? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I'll address that. La'olam b'shei avodas v'reisha d'kai b'shchita v'kai mechasha b'shchita. Inami kai b'zrika v'kai mechasha b'zrika. So I'll tell you how the Mishnah is adding an additional point. In the first part of the Mishnah, which we analyzed, and we're talking about b'shei avodas, so we're saying like this. Let's say while the Kohen is shechting, he has a machshava ra on the shechita. I am shechting this l'shem shlamim. Or while doing the zrika, he has a machshava l'shem zrika. I'm sprinkling the blood l'shem shlamim. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now seifa the kai b'shechita b'kachashav zrika. The amar harani shochet the pesach l'shmo l'zrok damer shlo l'shmo. I'll tell you what the second half of our Mishnah is coming to introduce: the following novel idea, and that is that in a scenario in which, let's say, during the Shechita, he makes the following statements. Well, the statement he makes is, I'm going to be shechting the Karban as a Karban Pesach. And while shechting, he also makes the following additional point. But I also plan on doing the Zrika l'shem shlamim. And so now the question here in hand is the following. Can you have a machshava of one avoda while doing a machshava of another avoda? Now go back to what I said at the beginning of the entire sugya, right? In our basic introduction. To have a machshava while you're doing none of the avodas is simply disregarded. It has no significance. It has no status. So let's say before the Kohen is doing any avoda whatsoever, so he has a machshava, so that's simply ignored. It's negated. It has no value, right? He shouldn't be doing it, of course, but it's not going to create any status. Over here now, the question over here is subtle. It's lamdish. When, let's say, you're doing one avoda, you are now having a machshava on this karban, but on a future avoda. And this is a terminology, we're going to see it in just a moment in the Gemara, of mechashven me'avoda la'avoda. is it possible that you could have a machshava on a future avoda while doing one of the earlier avodas? And is that going to be significant? This is subject to a debate. The Gemara and Zvachim discussed and debate this very point. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that the second half of our Mishnah is introducing us to this point and having a really strong opinion, which is it would be effective. It would give it status. Now over here, status would mean that it would be disqualification. And the Gemara now says, "V'kamash malanda mechashva me'avoda la'avoda." That's exactly our point over here, that you can have a machshava from one avoda to another avoda, v'hanu b'ayda Rav Papa. In fact, Rav Papa himself asked this question in the Gemara in Zvachim. Rav Papa was of the strong position that you can have a machshava from one avoda to another avoda. And in learning our Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, so we could keep our second half of the Mishnah on track with shtei avodas. And then to the question of then what are we adding with the second part of the Mishnah? So we're adding this feature of a machshava from one avoda to another avoda. Good. That takes us through our Mishnah. What comes out now is that we have not positively identified our Mishnah as either being shtei avodas or avoda achas. And what right now we are saying that our Mishnah could very well be talking about shtei avodas and the fact that there are two parts to our Mishnah. So we explain that the second half is actually introducing a point, but our Mishnah in total is talking about shtei avodas. That means that our Mishnah could be going both like Rabbi Yossi and or like Rabbi Meir. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's do a little bit more analysis. Oh, shalom l'shma v'lishma pasa. Reading on, the Mishnah said where the Kohen had a machshava of shalom l'shma and l'shma. Hechi dami inem b'shei avodas hashta l'shma v'shalom l'shma amar pasa shalom l'shma v'lishma mibaye. If the case where you had a machshava l'shma followed by a shalom l'shma and that will disqualify, so it goes without saying that the machshava started with the shalom l'shma followed by l'shma for sure is going to be pasal. Elala b'avoda achas. So it must be that the Mishnah over there is introducing us to where it occurred b'avoda achas. I mean, the sefer b'avoda achas, reishanami b'avoda achas. And since that is talking about avoda achas, so too the entire Mishnah is talking about avoda achas. That's the that's what seems to be a proper way to understand the Mishnah. Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily l'olam b'shei avodos. No, it's really our Mishnah is talking about Sheavod. So v'dinu delo itzirich lei. And what bothers you? That particular scenario is unnecessary. The Gemara says you're right. Va'ade detaina l'shmo v'shalol l'shmo tananami shalol l'shmo v'lishmo. But you know that the Mishnah loves symmetry. The Mishnah, which was before written, was committed to memory. So the Mishnah had a certain poetic nature to it. It had the symmetry. And so therefore, for the purposes of the symmetry, since the Mishnah gives us a scenario of shalom l'shmo followed by l'shmo, the Mishnah also, I'm sorry, the other way around. Since the Mishnah gives us a scenario of l'shmo for shalom l'shmo, which is a necessary point, so the Mishnah also gave us the case of l'shmo, shalom l'shmo, l'shmo. Maybe unnecessary, but it does allow for the Mishnah to be symmetrical, and that is also another feature of all Mishnayos. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, let's do another analysis. And that's Shachru Shalol Ochlav, Vishalol Limnuyav, La Arelim, Ulitmein Pasol. Okay, so this is the Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's Daf. And the Mishnah over here describes a scenario in which the Kohen Shech the Karm Pesach, but for non-consumers, people who are either physically unable to eat the Karm Pesach, you're too old, you're sick, or people who are not registered over this Karm Pesach, registration will be a big part of this, of the second half of Pesachim. We're going to talk in more detail later about how exactly registration works. But that shalom l'mnuyav, RL, someone who did not receive a bris milah. So the, and tameim, and a group of people who are tamei. Rashi, you can count on Rashi every single time. He's so reliable on this one particular point. He's reliable in general. But on this one particular point, that whenever we describe an Arel is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. So how did this person become an Arel? So Rashi describes that his brothers died because of a Mila. And the halacha is very clear that when the first two boys die out of Mila, so then the next children that you have, no Mila is to be done to the boys. And even though this is a case of absolute ones, nevertheless, Rashi describes this individual as an Arel. All right, Rashi's grandson disagrees with him. Anyway, Rashi throughout Shas is always consistent about that point. Anyway, the Mishnah is describing where, if the Kohen has a machshava of Shecht and Karban Pesach, now, as far as the Karban is concerned, he got the Karban right. However, Where did he not go right? So he did not go right in terms of the consumers, a group of people who are unable to eat the Karban Pesach. So another feature of the Karban Pesach is the significance and the importance of eating the Karban Pesach. Again, a theme that we're going to be seeing again and again. And here towards the beginning of the fifth parak, we are already seeing it, that if the Kohen were to shech the Karban Pesach for people who can't eat it, the Karban is disqualified. It's not good. So now the Gemara says, Hachab Shita Bavoda Achas. Now, that case obviously is talking about during one avoda. Certainly the point over there is that when the Kohen has this machshava of shechting it on behalf of non-consumers, you don't have to have that machshava for all four avodas. That machshava by itself during one of the avodas is enough to disqualify. And now the Gemara says, okay, so now let's simply carry over. So So we have now the carryover effect. If a later Mishnah is talking about avoda achas, our Mishnah is also talking about avoda achas. Isn't that clear? The Gemara says, okay, but midiyurya hakadisa vahakadisa seifa bavoda achas reishai bavoda achas ibishtei avodas. The Gemara says, look, it's not a compelling proof. You're right. The later Mishnah in tomorrow's daf is talking about avoda achas. That's a non-negotiable point. However, I could just simply say that our Mishnah is a different Mishnah, and our Mishnah is contextually talking about shtei avodas. The Mishnah on tomorrow's daf is talking about avoda achas. The Gemara says, look, it's a good point, but it's not a compelling point. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, let's do this again. La'ochlav shalo la'ochlav kasha. Let's say the Kohen has a group of people in mind. And included in this group of people, some of them can eat the Karban Pesach, some of them cannot eat the Karban Pesach. And the Mishnah tells us later on that that's okay. He has not disqualified the Karban under those circumstances. And to which the Gemara says, okay, now let's consider. Hechidami. If we're talking about where that occurred during two avodas, v'tam dechashav izrika, de'ein mechashvin ochlim izrika, and maybe over there, what's the scenario? So the Gemara over here, the Gemara here is projecting that the scenario of where he has two groups in mind, a group that can eat and a group that cannot eat, and let's say that that these two machshavas occurred in two different avodas. And let's say that the machshava of the group that can't eat occurred while the Kohen was doing Zrika. Now, is that going to be significant? And as the Gemara is going to darshan later on, Rashi over here quotes the drasha, but as we're going to darshan later on, the machshava of consumers is only during the Shechita and not during any one of the avodas. Now, that's a little bit funny. For the entirety of this morning, we said that a machshava is going to be significant during any one of the four avodas. That's true if the machshava is on the nature of the karban, shlamim versus pesach, etc., etc. But over here, if we're talking about the special machshava of consumers, which is a unique machshava that exists with karban pesach, that the Kohen has to have in mind people who can physically and halachically eat the karban, and if the Kohen has in mind a group of people who cannot eat the karban, that's going to be pasul. That is only significant during the shechita and not during the other avodas. So maybe what you want to tell me is that this is a way to understand that Mishnah. The machshava of shalala ochlav, that occurred during Zrika, and they're just simply, that's not significant, right? The terminology of the Gemara is, ein machshavas ochlin bezrika. The machshava of consumers is not going to affect the karban during Zrika. Haba avoda achas kegon. Bishchita de mahanya be machshava ochlin paso. The Gemara says, but if we were to have, let's say, these two machshavas during Shechita, like in other words, during the Shechita, a machshava of consumers is significant. And you want to tell me now that if the Kohen had a machshava during the Shechita that incorporated both consumers and non-consumers, the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Hakam ala mitzvah ochlin lo pasla. It happens to be that we're going to say in tomorrow's daf with full clarity that as long as one person on the group that the Kohen had machshava can eat it, that's enough to qualify the karban. And Rashi over here explains the reason why. It's the bottom Rashi. So Rashi explains because when it comes to this particular machshava of consumers, look, this one consumer, even though the Kohen had a bunch of other people who are non-consumers, but this one consumer over here, how is he going to be able to eat even just one kezayis of meat? The only way he can eat it is with the shechita. So even though the Kohen has only one consumer, one acceptable consumer in mind, and the rest of them are all non-consumers, but still, he can only eat the karban with a shechita. Right? Rashi uses a popular phrase, efsher l'chazayis basar below shechita. You simply cannot have a chazayis without a proper shechita. So that means to say that if the Kohen had the dual machshav of consumers and non-consumers during the shechita, so we know that that's not going to disqualify. Ela, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, so where does that leave us? So ela la b'avod achas. So where that leaves us is that it must be talking about avod achas. Meaning that even if this machshava were to occur b'avod achas, it would be kasher. And look at the top Rashi over here. Af b'avod achas kasher. Umasis amein b'avod achas mein b'shtei avodas kamar. So, and the Mishnah over here is coming to point out that this machshava, this dual machshava of consumer, non-consumer, it doesn't matter whether it was during two avodas or one avoda. B'avod achas kegom b'shchita mechashe leid mishum etzatzochlin lo pasle. If it occurred during one avoda, notably the shchita avoda, so that's good. We already established that as long as all you need is just one person to be able to consume, and that would be fine. Uveshtei avodas kegom shachal ochlav v'zark shalo lo ochlav. And the shtei avodas, what would that be? That would be a case where the shchita of the machshava of non-consumers occurred during zrika. The machshava of consumers occurred during shchita. So af agav de kula zrika shalo ochlav kasher mishum dei machshava ochlam bezrika. And even though during that machshava of zrika, all the Kohen thought about were non-consumers, but as we already established, this machshava of non-consumers is only significant during shchita, not during zrika. So el alav. So let's go back to the Gemara. So b'avod achas, amid the sefer b'avod achas, reisha nami b'avod achas. And so the Gemara is trying the same argument that it tried previously, which is basically the carryover effect. If the later Mishnah is talking about avod achas, so our Mishnah is also talking about avod achas, and you already know what the Gemara is going to do with that. So midir yakidisa v'akidisa. Seifa b'avod achas reisha o b'avod achas b'shtei avodah. So the Gemara says, look, it's a fair argument, but it's not a compelling argument. The fact that, yes, you're right, the Mishnah and tomorrow's daf is going to be talking about avod achas, that doesn't necessarily mean that our Mishnah in today's daf is talking about avod achas. Okay. Adkan takes us through the first half of today's daf. It was really just one simple question. When our Mishnah talks about the dual machshava that the Kohen had while shechting the Karban Pesach, where he had a machshava both of Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo, is that talking about where that double machshava occurred in one avoda? Or are we talking about a case where it occurred in two separate avodas? And really, what is behind that is who is the author of our Mishnah? Is the author of our Mishnah Reb Meir, or is the author of the Mishnah Rabbi Yossi? Okay, at the end of the daf, I'll recap the two positions. I'll recap the Mishnah. But meanwhile, let's go on. Ibai Lehu. It's going to be our second and final discussion of today's daf. And that's going to be the following. Pesach sheshachtu b'shayim osashana, lishma v'shalo lishma mahu. So the Gemara says, let's analyze the following scenario. Karban Pesach, rest of the year. Now, in order to understand this, just a quick background. And that is the Karban Pesach shechted on the 14th day of Nisan. So that is going to be, you need to shecht that l'shem Karban Pesach. And you put a machshav of shalo lishma into that, the Kohen, while doing any one of the four avodas, has a machshav of any other karban, even a karban shlamim, so that's a DQ. That disqualifies the karban. Good, that we know. Now, we also know the following, that if, let's say, you had your Karban Pesach a week, 2 weeks, whatever the case was, in advance of Pesachim, and let's say on the 10th day of Nisan, for whatever reason, you decide, you know what? I'm going to take this Karban Pesach, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and shecht as a shlamim. So what you can do with the Karban Pesach, it's a unique feature of the Karban Pesach. We do have it. I'm thinking out loud. We do have this idea by another carbon scenario, Asham Ola, but okay, good. Close parentheses. You don't have to hear all my thoughts. So, but by the carbon Pesach, we have a unique feature that carbon Pesach for the rest of the year, if offered as a carbon shlamin, would work as a carbon shlamin. So the Gemara now wants to know the following. Let's say we take our carbon Pesach and we shecht it on any other day of the year, any other calendaric day of the year other than the 14th day of Nisan, and shecht it as a karban shlamim. And let's say that while shecht it as a karban shlamim, so the Kohen had in mind that it was the shechting it l'shem karban Pesach. Okay. And now the question on the table is that going to be disqualifying our karban shlamim? Ivai lu Pesach sheshechtu b'shayim ha'shashana l'shmo b'shalo l'shmo ma'u. Mi asi shalo l'shmo umapik le midi l'shmo umachshir le. Olo. And the question of the Gemara is that what's going to happen now with our machshava of shelo lishma? Is our machshava of shelo lishma going to be a disqualifier? Look at Rashi. Pesach b'shayim moshashana. Rashi writes, "Kigon she yifrisha konim lachein yamim rabim v'kamelan dekashel lishlamim bepirkin delakaman." Good. So Rashi laid out the information that during the rest of the year it could be brought as a shlamim. V'im shach la pesach pasol. Now, if you shecht as a carbon pesach, it's disqualified to love's manei. V'il l'shem shlamim shachtu kosher. V'echad shachtu lishmo v'shelo lishmo mahu. So now, the rest of the year, let's say you had the double machshava. So if you had the double machshava of the shelo lishmo, what would occur under those circumstances for the carbon pesach on any other calendaric day of the year? Good, that's the Gemara's question. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Amri Salishmaita Kami to Rav Yirmiyah. So the question was posed in front of Rav Yirmiyah, and now the following argument. Argument sounds like this. Hol ulishmo machshirav bizmano, v'shelo lishmo machshira shelo bizmano. Look, basically what we're going to do is that we're going to compare. Let's put a side-by-side comparison of the Pesach on the calendaric day of the 14th of Nisan and the Karban Pesach on any other calendaric day of the year. Now, on the 14th day of Nisan, what kind of machshava do you need? Lishmo. On any other day of the year, what kind of machshava do you need? Shelo lishmo. And now, when you put these two side by side, so now compare. Ma lishmo machshir bezmano, ein motzi amide shelo lishmo. So now, on the 14th day of Nisan, when you have the proper machshava, but coupled with an improper machshava, so that improper machshava is now going to be a disqualifier. So, af shelo lishmo hamachshiro, shelo bizmano, ein motziya midei lishmo, upasol. So now I take the flip of that, I invert that for any other day of the year, and look, what you need during any other day of the year is a machshava shelo lishmo. But if it's coupled with the lishmo, so that also is going to be disqualifier. Meaning, just like on the 14th day of Nisan, where the lishmo is not going to salvage shelo lishmo, so too on any other day of the year, the shelo lishmo is not going to salvage the lishmo. Now, all you have to do is basically just understand that whatever is true on Pesach, the inverted, the opposite is going to be true during the rest of the year. So if on Pesach, shelo lishmo is disqualifying the lishmo, so any other day of the year, the lishmo is going to be disqualifying the shelo lishmo. Okay. V'amar li lo. Now, although it sounds like a wonderful argument, the Gemara says, I don't necessarily buy it. So look, this idea that the shelo lishmo is a deal buster. It's a disqualifier. Yeah, you know why? Because shelo lishmo is universal. By any other carbon that's being offered, shelo lishmo is going to disqualify any other carbon. Now, it's true, and Rashi over here points this out. It's true that by any other carbon, it doesn't disqualify, right? But nevertheless, it affects. Like I said in the beginning of Shir today, what happens with a carbon where you had a machshava shelo lishmo, with exception to Chatzos and Pesach, is it's going to detach the owner. But it doesn't change the point the Gemara is making, is that when you have a shelo lishmo by any other carbon, it will have an effect. But this idea of lishmo, where lishmo is a disqualifier, this is something that's unique to carbon Pesach. It doesn't exist by any other carbon. Meaning by any other carbon, what happens when you have a lishmo? You get a pat on the back. The Kohen did a great job. That's exactly what he's supposed to do. And it's only this inverted case of Pesach. It's really bizarre. But that's just simply how the carbon Pesach operates year round. Where there, when you're shechting a Karban Pesach on any other day of the year, you need shelo lishmo. You need to say that this Karban Pesach, although I was makdish it as a Karban Pesach, I need to now change it to a shlamim. So you need shelo lishmo. The idea that lishmo is actually going to disqualify it is a unique halacha that applies only to Karban Pesach year-round. And so therefore, even though it's true that on the 14th day of Nisan, the shelo lishmo will disqualify, and even if you couple it with a lishmo, it's not going to salvage it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Karban Pesach, the all other days of the year, where I have a lishmo and shelo lishmo, where shelo lishmo is what I need, and lishmo is a disqualifier, but I don't know if lishmo is going to upend the shelo lishmo, because we don't have this in any other carbon. This is a unique feature that you have only by the Karm Pesach on all other days of the year. Ela bePesach b'vad. Okay, so Rav Yirmiyah's argument is basically knocked out. So my havi ala. So the Gemara now, as we finish up the daf, so the Gemara says, okay, can we have some sort of conclusion on this matter? So Amar Rava Pesach Sheshachtu B'Shar Yom HaShoshana L'Shma V'Shalo Shmo Kasher. So Rava says, okay, I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is that you Shechtu Karm Pesach any other day of the year, and you have a machshava both of L'Shmo Shalo Shmo, I think it's going to be kasher. Why? Dehasam L'Shmo Kai. Because consider, when I have a Karm Pesach any other day of the year, what's its default setting? The default setting is that it's L'Shmo, meaning it's a Karm Pesach. I'm Shechting as a Karm Pesach. V'Afilu Hachi Kishachi Lei Shalo L'Shmo Kasher. Ah. And when you have a machshava of shalol l'shmo, which is what you need on any other day of the year, so that's going to be kasher. So ama asu shalol l'shmo mapik le'midei l'shmo. So what Rav is trying to argue is the following. The default setting is basically a built-in machshava. Since its default setting is a Karm Pesach, so when I shechta shalol l'shmo, so Rav is trying to argue that that's basically analogous to having a dual machshava of both shalol l'shmo and l'shmo. And so therefore, it's really no different if I have a default setting of Lishmo and I shechter lo shalo Lishmo, and in the case where I actually articulate and say both shalo Lishmo and Lishmo. So kishachinam Lishmo v'shalo Lishmo, asu shalo Lishmo, umapik le'midin Lishmo. That is Rava's argument, and therefore he concludes that the dual machshava of a Karm Pesach year-round would not disqualify the carbon. I'm le'rava, d'barava, le'rava, d'oma, shani, heched amar, meheched lo amar. And Rava the Brava says to Rava, I'm not buying into this argument. Meaning, I agree, of course, that the default setting of a Karm Pesach year-round is that it is a Karm Pesach, and basically it's Lishmo, but there still is a really big difference between the default setting of Lishmo and actually articulating Lishmo. The Halach Lav Shalom Halach Lav Kasher. Because consider the following. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to be talking about consumers and non-consumers. Now, v'chol heichad d'shachet le'shal aloch lav l'chudei pasol. So now, let's say you have a machshava where the Kohen's only thinking about how he's shechting this on behalf of non-consumers. And that disqualifies. V'amai hastam aloch lav kai. Now, over there, what's the default setting? Isn't the default setting of the Karm Pesach that I'm shechting it for consumers? So, eloshani heichad amar meheichad alo amar. So, clearly over there, there's a huge difference between the default setting and actually articulating. So in the case of default setting, okay, that's a default setting. But if you articulate, that's going to be a much different case. So achinam, mishani echad amar, meechad lo amar. Same thing over here. You're right, the Karm Pesach is set at a Karm Pesach even year-round, but still there's a big difference between default setting and actually articulation. So amalei midi erya, the Gemara says, look, Rava says back to Rav Adar Bar Ava, I don't buy your argument. So your comparison of having a machshava of lishmo shelo lishmo and putting that side by side by consumers and non-consumers, I don't buy that argument at all. Bishlam ha'asam kamad lo akar le b'shchita stame vade lishmo kai. So look, in my case over here of lishmo shelo lishmo and the default setting of the Karm Pesach, of course the default setting of the Karm Pesach any day of the year is set at Karm Pesach. It's really no different than actually saying I'm shechting it as a Karm Pesach. But it happens to be that when it comes to consumers, do you know that that registration over the Karm Pesach is a really fluid situation, right? You can have a group of people registering over this Karm Pesach, and before Shechita, they can register, they can unregister, right? We'll talk later in the Masechta more about the process of registration. But you're not locked into the Karm Pesach. So the idea that the default setting of the Karm Pesach is that, of course, you have in mind these people who are consumers, that's not necessarily true. A person who is registered over the Karm Pesach at any point in time can just simply unregister himself. So since we have that kind of fluidity when it comes to consumers, so you can't tell me that the default setting of the Karm Pesach is that it's le'ochlav, that it's going to be for only its consumers, that's not necessarily true. However, when it comes to the Karm Pesach year-round, where I was maktishit as the Karm Pesach there, the default setting is really strong. What's your alternative? Of course it's set at Karban Pesach. And so therefore, if I shecht it shelo lishmo, so that would be analogous to actually articulating shelo lishmo lishmo. Because the default setting is basically as strong as you articulating lishmo. Okay, so Rav is simply doesn't like the comparison of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Apparently, Rava sticks to his guns. And Rava's of the position that a Karban Pesach year-round with a machshava of both Lishmo and Shalom Lishmo would work. Because it would be no different than you just simply saying Shalom Lishmo, and the Lishmo default is basically, it's almost as if it's unstated, but stated as well. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of today's daf, gives us a fantastic opportunity to review. We started with our mission today of the machshava shelo lishmo. A machshava shelo lishmo by Karban Pesach during any one of the four avodas will disqualify the Karban Pesach. This has been established in the beginning of Zvachim, and here our Mishnah Psachim and Nun Tesamid Beis, and basically the entirety of today's daf is now focused on this point, that you have a machshava of shelo lishmo during any one of the four avodas on Erev Pesach, so that will disqualify the Karban Pesach. The Kohen only needs to have the machshava during any one of the four significant avodas, either during Shechita, Kabbalas Adam, Holacha, or Zrika. Our discussion today revolved around Rav Papa's question. Is our Mishnah talking about where the double machshava occurred during one avoda? Or is our Mishnah talking about where it's spaced out for during two avodas? And really, what's at the core of this question is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir, or is our Mishnah going like Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi says, "Bigmar dvarav adam nitfas." Rav Yossi says that you must take the totality of a statement, and even though the statement cannot be synthesized, but the totality of a statement must be taken into account. And the source of this is in the Gemara in Temura. That sheet is Rav Yossi. So if our Mishnah is talking about avoda achas, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi. But if our Mishnah is going like avoda achas, it can't be going like Rav Meir. Why? Because Rav Meir says that when a person makes statements and there are parts to the statement that cannot be synthesized, you ignore the second half of the statement and you just simply operate with the first half of the statement. So in a case where you said Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo and it occurred during Avoda Achas, Rav Meir will tell you that it's kasher, not pasul. So if our Mishnah was talking about Avoda Achas, it would have to exclude itself from the position of Rav Meir. The alternative is that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. How can that work when it's spaced out between two different avodas? Because when you're having now another machshava during another avoda, that basically is a new machshava. And Rav Meir will tell you that then under those circumstances, it's going to be pasul. Good. And where do we land on that issue? So we discussed it for the entirety of the Amud Aleph, and the Gemara end up inconclusive on this issue. Second discussion of our Gemara today is that we know that the Karban Pesach year-round on any other calendaric day of the year, if it shechted l'shem Karban Shlamim, meaning shelo lishmo, so then it would work as a Karban Shlamim. So on any other day of the year, you need a machshava shelo lishmo in order for it to work as a Karban Shlamim. Well, let's say during the rest of the year you had a shelo lishmo and a lishmo. Where do we stand on that issue? Now, what I didn't discuss, by the way, is that this question of the Gemara was that within the sheet of Rav Meir, was that within the sheet of Rav Yossi, the Gemara itself does not discuss, Tosus does. Top Tosus on the Amud Beis discusses it. See there for more on that. But anyway, so during the rest of the year, you have a machshava of shelo lishmo and lishmo. Shelo lishmo is what you need. Lishmo is what you don't want. And then you have a dual machshava. Would it disqualify? Much like the lishmo and shelo lishmo of Pesach of the 14th would disqualify, would the machshava of shelo lishmo and lishmo of the Karban Pesach year round, would that also disqualify? Discussed, deliberated in the Gemara. Also, the Gemara does not seem to arrive at a definitive conclusion over there. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up towards the bottom. Yibailu.